Welcome to episode 404 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The Sermon on the Mount, recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, includes some of the most well-known teachings of Christ. Jesus didn't come to replace the law, but to fulfill it. Our Savior spoke in a way all could understand. But in this sermon, he pulled his disciples closer. Every word was intentional and full of wisdom to live by, not just rules to religiously follow. As we spend 100 days in the New Testament, we will dive into this sermon several times over that period of time. Today, we will explore 15 passages from Matthew 5, the first part of this important sermon. Matthew 5, verses 1 to 2. Seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them. This passage is the reason the sermon is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 4 mentions that great multitudes followed Jesus, coming from many different regions. In response to this, Jesus goes up into the mountain. Was he trying to get away from these people? There is no indication of this being the case. And when the text says that his disciples came to him, it doesn't necessarily mean that he had an audience of only 12. Disciples here can probably be interpreted more broadly as followers. When he was set, Jesus opened his mouth and taught them authoritatively. Matthew 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The first portion of the Sermon on the Mount is known as the Beatitudes, which means the blessings, but can also be understood as giving the believer his Beatitudes. The attitudes he should be. In the Beatitudes, Jesus sets forth both the nature and the aspirations of citizens of his kingdom. They have and are learning these character traits. Note that unlike the fruits of the Spirit, these character traits are not intended for some and not for others. These are character traits for all those who would follow Jesus. Jesus begins with the poor in spirit, those who recognize that they have no spiritual assets. They know they are spiritually bankrupt. We might say that the ancient Greek had a word for the working poor and a word for the truly poor. Jesus used the word for the truly poor here. It indicates someone who must beg for whatever they have or get. Poverty of spirit cannot be artificially induced by self-hatred. The Holy Spirit and our response to his working in our hearts brings this about. Those who are poor in spirit, so poor they must beg, are rewarded. They receive the kingdom of heaven because poverty of spirit is an absolute prerequisite for receiving the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5 verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Those who mourn actually mourn over sin and its effects. If we are truly sorrowful for our sins, Jesus will bring us comfort. Grief is a pathway to something better. Matthew 5 verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." In the vocabulary of the ancient Greek language, the meek person was not passive or easily pushed around. The main idea behind the word meek was strength under control, like a strong stallion that was trained to do the job instead of running wild. To be meek means to show willingness to submit and work under proper authority. It also shows a willingness to disregard one's own rights and privileges. Matthew 5, verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." This is a longing that endures and is never completely satisfied on this side of eternity. Matthew 5, verse 7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." When this beatitude addresses those who will show mercy, it speaks to those who have already received mercy. It is mercy to be emptied of your pride and brought to poverty of spirit. It is mercy to be brought to mourning over your spiritual condition. It is mercy to receive the grace of meekness and to become gentle. It is mercy to be made hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Therefore, this one who is expected to show mercy is one who has already received it. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." In the ancient Greek, the phrase "pure of heart" has the idea of straightness, honesty, and clarity. Matthew 5 verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." This does not describe those who live in peace, but those who actually bring about peace, overcoming evil with good. Matthew 5, verses 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The persecuted will have great reward in heaven, and they will also be in good company, the prophets, the apostles, and Jesus himself. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Disciples are like salt because they are precious. In Jesus' day, salt was a valued commodity. Roman soldiers were sometimes paid with salt, giving rise to the phrase, worth his salt. By comparing disciples to salt, Jesus had many intentions. But I want to focus right now on the idea that we are valuable and we need to do whatever we can in Christ to maintain that value. Matthew 5, verses 17 to 18. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Jesus wanted to make it clear that he had authority apart from the law of Moses, but not in contradiction to it. Jesus added nothing to the law except one thing that no man had ever added, perfect obedience. This is certainly one way Jesus came to fulfill the law. Matthew 5, verses 21 to 22. You've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. What Jesus points out so powerfully here is that we are accountable for our thoughts, not just our actions. Matthew 5, verses 29 to 30. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right eye causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. One must be willing to sacrifice to be obedient. Matthew 5, verses 38 to 42. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you in the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. This is love. Matthew 5, verses 44 to 46. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Jesus reminds that in the sense God means it, all people are our neighbors, even our enemies. To truly fulfill this law, we must love, bless, do good, and pray for our enemies, not only our friends. There we have it, 15 passages of scripture from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. But besides these verses that we've highlighted, consider reading more as a part of your personal study. Father, we thank you for the words of wisdom from the great Sermon on the Mount. May these words convict our hearts and transform our lives. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.